This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still studying the book of بلوغ المرام in lessons in fiqh. Last time we stopped at hadith 66, I think. And today's hadith is number 67. So who's the brother is going to read? Brother Samer.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Narrated by Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had appointed 3 days and nights as a period when a traveler may do it, and 1 day and one night as a period for one who is not traveling. That is, the wiping over the shoes.
Okay. So again, we come back to the subject, 3 days and three nights for those who are traveling. And those who are residing, like us, in a city where you live, you may wipe on your shoes or your socks for 1 day and one night. This means 24 hours. But don't get the idea that after 24 hours, your wudu is void. And this is a misconception a lot of us have. What the Prophet permits us to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to wipe over the shoes from this period to that, which is 24 hours. Now, let me give you a scenario where this 24 hours is extended. Let's imagine that you wake up in the morning, you perform wudu, you go and pray Fajr, and you're still preserving your wudu. You didn't pass any wind, you didn't urinate. You put on your shoes or your socks. You go to work, you pray Dhuhr, you did not nullify your wudu. You pray Asr, you pray Maghrib, and you pray Isha. Your septic tank is very big, but it's a hypothetical. It happens. Some of us don't go to the toilet, yani, except once every 18 hours. It happens. And once it happens, remember that I wore my shoes, Fajr prayer. I prayed 5 times. Now it's evening time. It's night. I go to bed with my shoes on. I wake up in the morning. Now this is the second day. By sleeping, I have nullified my wudu. So I go to the toilet and I perform wudu and I wipe on my socks. So the clock starts now. So I pray the second day, 5 prayers. Whether I nullify my wudu or not, whether I wipe or not, I began in the fajr of the second day. And I continue, I go to bed in the second night. I wake up just before Fajr. I perform wudu and I wipe on my socks. So by now, by Fajr, I have finished 24 hours. But my wudu is still there. So I pray the third day, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, with the same wudu of Al-Fajr. So in this sense, though I'm residing, what was the period that I have prayed while putting on my shoes? It was 3 full days and nights. Yet the period of wiping was only the second day. Because the first day, I didn't nullify my wudu. The third day, I didn't nullify my wudu. So the 24 hours was in the middle. So this is for the residing person. Did I make myself clear? Anybody has a question? Should I ask questions? I don't think so. What do you think? Is it understood? You have only 24 hours of wiping. But that does not mean that you may not wear your socks without wiping. Before that, a whole day. And that does not mean you may still keep on your socks after the 24 hours are over. You still have the option of doing this, alhamdulillah. And then this misconception must be removed from our minds that after the 24 hours are over, khalas, you have to take off your shoes and wash your feet. This is not the case. As long as you have your wudu on, even if you've wiped, your wudu is still on. You did not pass wind, you did not urinate, you did not sleep, then there is no reason for you to perform wudu again. Fadi?
Say, for example, someone has the he has the 24 hours period time to wipe on the front of his feet, okay? And the next day, where he was supposed to take off his socks, he didn't. Like the next fajr or the next after going beyond that period, he wiped again on the khuffain or on his feet. And he went and prayed. Like, what is the state he is in for the wudu and his prayer at this time?
If 24 hours pass from the first time he wiped his feet, after that, he may not wipe on the socks again. He's not allowed to. If he does, his wudu would not be accepted. It would be void. Because it's obligatory once the 24 hours are over and he nullified his wudu, it's obligatory for him to take off the socks and wash his feet. And then he may wear the socks again, and another day and night are renewable automatically. But if the 24 hours are over, he still preserves his wudu. He may pray. But if he nullifies his wudu after 24 hours from the very beginning of the first wiping, then he should immediately take off his socks or shoes and wash his feet again. Now, I may ask a question. Maybe Mustafa would like to answer this question. Give it some thought. Now, assume that you have performed wudu for Fajr prayer, and you wore your socks. Dhuhr prayer, you nullified your wudu, so you're performing an ablution, and then you wiped on your socks, and you went into the mosque. It's still not dhuhr time. You wiped on your socks. And just before the iqamah, the call for prayer, you felt hot, and you took off your socks. Should you go out and perform wudu again? Or can you pray and continue to pray? What do you think?
If you wiped over it?
Yes.
And you took it off, then you must go and make ablution again.
Okay, this is a misconception that a lot of us have. See, once you take off your socks, you did not commit something that nullifies your wudu. Now, you may not wipe on the socks again if you put them on again. This is a different story. But it's like exactly if you perform wudu, you wipe over your head, your hair, if you have hair, and then you go to the barber and you shave your head clean. So, must I perform wudu again? Putting your example in mind, said, yes. The hair that I wiped on is no longer there, so I think I should wipe again on my head. The answer would be no. The things that nullify your wudu are a number of things, and removing your shoes are not one of them, and is not one of them, and also shaving your head is not one of them. So, if I've wiped on my socks and I took them off, I may still pray in my current situation as I did not nullify my wudu. Okay, the following hadith.
Narrated Thawban, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent an expedition. He commanded them to wipe over the headbands, that is, the turbans, and the boots, that is, the shoes.
Of course, now when you hear the word headbands, this is a translation. And lots of the translations, yeah, maybe they're not well translated. So one says headbands. Whoa, headbands, it's like Rambo or something. They were not used to wearing these things. Like, and lots of the things that the brothers in Muslim worlds wear, God, it's so weird. You know, you get people, now Muslims are following the West and every single thing as the Prophet ﷺ has warned. You get people wearing earrings, putting chains and bracelets and so on. What are you doing? He said, well, it looks cool. The looks is not important. The following of the Prophet ﷺ, to have your dignity, to have your own personality, to follow the sunnah, this is where you get your power from. So headbands, meaning turbans, this is what they used to wear. And the Prophet ﷺ, before sending expeditions, he used to give them advice. They didn't have any mobiles. So if they were encountered with a problem, they wouldn't have the chance to wire the Prophet ﷺ. They would have to wait a whole month and come back and say, well, we faced this and that and we didn't know what to do. So the Prophet ﷺ gives them a warning. Gives them advice. It's exactly like when people came to the Prophet, and this is very informative. And this is what we should always do. Try to add an extra edge of information. The Prophet ﷺ, once a group of companions came to him, and they told him that we travel by sea. And quite frequently, we are carrying with us a small portion of water, drinking water, because we don't have enough space on our boats. And after a week or so, we have a problem. We are in a dilemma. If we use the water to ablution, then we will run out of drinking water, and then we have a crisis. And if we don't, if we go and try to perform ablution using seawater, it's salty, it doesn't taste good. So is it water? They're asking, they're trying to gain knowledge. So the Prophet says, as-salam, yes, the water of the sea is pure. And also the dead fish of the water, of the sea. So he added this extra information because they didn't ask him. But he figured it out that if they're going to travel by sea, probably they're going to starve. Maybe they run out of food. So what? Then we know that Muslims may only eat animals that are slaughtered by the people of the book or by Muslims, by Jews, Christians, or a Muslim. Other than that, any other meat is not permissible for us to eat. So I'm traveling on the sea, and I get this whale floating on the sea, or I get this fish. So how do I slaughter it? So the Prophet is telling them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an extra piece of information that they did not think of, but probably they would think of later on. And again, here, this is an expedition. The Prophet is sending them away. So he's telling them that it is easier for you to do this. What? To rub on the turbans, to wipe over the turbans, and whatever they wear on their feet. We've gone through the turbans, and we mentioned that. Now, let's go to the things that we wear on our feet. We ask a question, and we said that, do we wipe on anything that we wear on our feet? The answer was, yes, providing it covers the whole foot to the ankles. Slippers do not count. Why? Because you can see the toes, you can see the heel, you can see part of the foot. Okay, shoes, yes, you can wipe over your shoes. One would say, okay, can I pray wearing shoes? Is it okay to pray wearing my boots? What do you think, Samir?
Well, as long as it covers the whole of the foot, yeah.
There's no problem. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mustafa?
As long as it covers the foot and it doesn't have impurity on it.
Okay. But why did you say as long as it covers the foot? Can I pray in my slippers, Fadi?
Yes, I can pray in my slippers, but I cannot wipe on top of them.
Okay, that's the answer. Okay, what else? Do you have an addition?
Yeah, of course, I can pray with my shoes. And if I've wiped on them, as long as I've entered my feet in those shoes while they were pure.
Excellent. So if I wear my shoes as soon as I get off bed without breaking, then without performing wudu, then I cannot wipe on the shoes. My cameraman says we have to stop. So stay with us tuned, inshallah, and we will continue after the break.
You have questions that bother you? What about issues of concern to you? Would you like to share things on your mind with us? Are you interested in solutions based on an Islamic perspective? Please join me live in Meet Your Advisor every Friday at 9 p.m. Mecca time here on Huda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Before the break, we're talking about the difference between praying wearing shoes, slippers, and so on, and wiping over them. We may pray wearing our shoes, socks, slippers, whatever. And nowadays, a lot of people think that this is not proper. It's not Islamic. Well, actually, it is Islamic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray in your shoes, pray in your sandals, pray in your slippers, because the Jews do not pray wearing their slippers, sandals, or shoes. So this is part of having your identity, part of having your own way of living, to differentiate Muslims from those who are non-Muslims. So it's whatever is convenient for you, do it. Now, putting in mind that I don't want people to listen to this hadith and the following prayer, they go to the mosque, to the masjid nearby their houses and say, well, the sheikh said we could wear our shoes, so I'm going to pray in the masjid, go all the way to the front row wearing my boots or my shoes and pray. This is unacceptable. Not because it's not Islamic, because mosques nowadays have these carpets and rugs, and your shoes are not that clean. The Prophet tells us whoever wants to go into the masjid, he should look into his sandals or slippers to see if they are clean or not. If they're not, he should not pray in them. He should clean them and move the filth or dirt that is attached to it. But if you are in a journey, or if you're traveling, or if you're going outdoors and you want to pray with your friends and brothers, and it's not a masjid, you're in outdoors in the park or whatever, you don't have to take off your shoes. The sunnah for you is to pray with your shoes on, with your slippers on. This is the sunnah. Now, if you don't feel comfortable with that, it's another issue. If you're wearing like Texican boots, really high with big stuff attached to it, then they said may harm you, take them off. It's no problem. If you're a soldier, wearing soldier boots could take a long time. Taking them off is a horrendous job, especially with all the straps and tying them up and so on. So you may pray wearing your boots, providing you do not provoke the Muslims. You don't go to the mosque, to the front row, wearing your shoes. But if you're anywhere else other than the mosque, yes, this is the sunnah for you to wear it. We come back to the subject of wiping over the socks and the shoes. Scholars have different opinions because they have set certain conditions where Muslims should only wipe over the shoes or socks that follow the criteria they have set, such as, one, they say that the shoe or socks should cover the whole foot from toes to the ankle. They said that it should not be see-through and it should not have holes in it. And they say it should hold by itself. And what does that mean? Meaning that if you wrap it, like you put on the bandages, this does not hold by itself. It's going to fall. So they say that this is unacceptable. It should stay firm and fit by itself. Now, other scholars did not like what the previous scholar said. And they say that, well, we cannot say that this is authentic or correct because we don't have any evidence. Now, what's wrong with a socks being see-through? White socks. What's wrong with that? The majority say, no, this is unacceptable. Why is that? They say, because I can see the skin. Okay, so what's wrong with seeing the color of the skin? There's nothing wrong with that. Other scholars say, okay, what's wrong with praying with socks that have a small hole in it? Said, whoa, if you can see the skin, if you can see the flesh, this is unacceptable. You may not wipe on that. Why is that? They say because the socks should cover the whole foot. And the authentic verdict, the most correct verdict, is the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, Shaykh al-Islam. He said, imagine the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. None of them had enough money to buy a full-fledged socks that fits by itself and has no holes in it. They were all poor. They didn't have money. And on the contrary, when in one of the battles of the companions, the battle used to be called Dhatu al-Riqa', yani the patches that they used to put on their socks, because they used to walk, and after 6 or 7 hours of walking, you start having holes in your socks or shoes. So they used to put patches, and they used to wrap bandages over it so that they could be able to walk. So do you mean to tell me that if I'm in such a situation, if my socks has a small hole in it, I'm not allowed to do this? The answer would be no, you are allowed to do it. A small hole does not count. If the socks is see-through, this also does not count. It's okay to wipe, it's okay to wipe over the socks, as the scholars say. We move on to the following hadith.
Narrated by Omar, radiallahu anhu, without a full chain of narrators, and Anas with a full chain of narrators. When any of you performs ablution and puts his shoes on, he may wipe over them, offer prayer while wearing them, and not take off them if he wishes, except for sexual impurity.
Again, this reiterates the previous hadiths we've gone through. Once you put on your shoes, once you put on your socks, while you are in the state of purity, you don't have to take them off. You can wipe over them, with the exception with janaba, sexual impurity. Okay. The following hadith, please.
Narrated by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission for the traveler to wipe over his shoes during 3 days and nights, and for one who was not traveling during a day and a night, if he had been in state of purity when he put them on.
Again, this hadith reiterates what we have studied previously. One point is, I'd like to mention that of the narrator of this hadith is Abu Bakr. And he's a different person than Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, is one of the 10 people that the Prophet ﷺ told them that they are in heaven, inshallah. He is the father-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ because he is the father of Aisha Umm al-Mu'mineen. Abu Bakr is a different companion. His name is Abu Bakr al-Thaqafi, and he was a slave. And when the Prophet ﷺ and his army surrounded the city of Taif, Thaqif, for 3 or 4 weeks or so, the Prophet ﷺ told those who were inside that the besieged city, that if anyone comes to them from the slaves, he is automatically freed. So this was an incentive to the slaves to come to the Prophet ﷺ and revert to Islam. So Abu Bakr was a slave at the time. So he came down from the castle of Thaqif by a rail. And this is the meaning of Bakra. Bakara is the rail. So he came down from the castle, the besieged city, by a rail. And the minute the Prophet saw him, the companions called him Abu Bakr, meaning the guy, the man with the rail who came to us. So again, this reiterates what we've mentioned before, that a traveler has the permission, has the excuse to make it easier for him not to take off his shoes for 3 days and three nights. He may only wipe over his shoes. It's not a must that he takes them off and wash his feet, except in the case of sexual impurity. And for those who are residing, they may do the same, even if there is no reason for that. One would say, okay, I have a toilet that I can perform wudu on or wudu in, so should I take it off? The answer would be, no, it's not a must. You may perform wiping over the shoes or the socks, but providing you do that within the span of 24 hours, one day and one night. And this tells us how easy Islam is. It gives us a room to maneuver. It gives us a room not to make life difficult on us. But remember, life is not difficult because Allah tells us to do this. You may not choose things that conflict with Islam and say, well, this makes life easier. You have to stick with the sunnah. And the origin of wiping over the shoes is mentioned in the Quran. When it comes on wiping over the head and washing the shoes, because there are two narrations of the ayah, بِرُجُولِكُمْ أَوْ فَمْسَحُ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ أَوْ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ. So it can go both ways, and it's in the sunnah crystal clear. It's a sign of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as Imam Ahmad, may Allah have mercy on his soul, said that he narrated this hadith through 40 of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, Mas'hu al-Khufayn. This is all the time we have for today's program. And until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.